Now to James chapter 5, we are closing our study here in verses 19 and 20. And it appears, as I have studied this, that this is a topic that James is wants to address as he closes the letter. And I believe what it does is it puts his letter in perspective. Because sadly, there are people that gather together with the church who may not truly be a part of the church. What do I mean by that? Well, the church is made up of people that have believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Their sins have been forgiven. They have believed in Him. They have submitted themselves to His authority. God has saved them. But we all realize that we can talk a good talk and that people can say whatever they want to say. But the reality of one's heart is known by the individual and is known by God. Notice who's missing from that. It's not known by me or you. It's known by the individual and it's known by God. But what we see in the New Testament is we see the importance of verifying our own heart that we truly be a follower of God. And what we see here in the book of James is, in these closing verses, is James is alerting us to the fact that there are these kinds of people that meet with us, that gather together with us. Those that can talk great things about God. Those people that know the truth and learn the truth, but they have not embraced it and believed the truth of salvation. The scriptures teach that a person that is saved, their life will be changed, and their life will be, that will change is evidenced by walking in the Spirit, a life that is lived according to God's truth. Now, is it a life of perfection? No, it's not a life of perfection. 1 John is very clear. If you say that you have no sin, you are a liar. You're a liar. All right, so you're going to sin, yes. But are you consistently living in that sin, walking in that sin, walking in darkness? 1 John deals with that. There are people that will profess a belief of the truth, but they do not possess the Spirit of truth. Now, this is difficult for me to say because I'm just a mere man, just like you. And the purpose of our time tonight is not to for us to begin pointing fingers at other people and wondering about them and their faith. It's also not to cause doubt in your own heart and soul about your salvation. The goal tonight is for us to just personally realize that a relationship with God is evidenced by fruit. It's evidenced by a life lived according to God's commands. Obedience. Doing God's word. The letter of James is a guidebook to the fruit of a true relationship with God. He's writing to a young church who's caught in the throes of a Jewish religion, pagan idolatry, and then God's truth. This church is young, and they have learned God's truth, but they still have remnants of Jewish religiosity. And the pagan idolatry is surrounding them as the Jews have been scattered away from Jerusalem because of persecution. The question is, how should they live? And James is seeking to answer that question. This is how you are to live. He instructs them with the assumption that their obedience or lack thereof will reveal whether they're truly submitted to God and His grace. Now, Jesus warned of this in Matthew chapter 7. Listen to this, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he says this, "Not every one of you that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, but listen to this. "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Notice the emphasis on doing. And what did James say? Don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. Take what you have heard and do it. James 1:22. Jesus continues in Matthew 7, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." Now, we should not rejoice in such statements and the fact that people will face that someday. But the reality is God is so gracious to us to bring this to our attention now. Are we just a hearer of the word, or are we a doer of the word? Remember, this is fruit of a right relationship with God, of salvation in Jesus Christ. He goes on in chapter 7 to give the illustration of the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house upon the what, children? I was seeing who's paying attention, who's not. The wise man built his house upon a rock. Good. All right, and when the rains came, yep, the floods came up, and what happened to the house on the rock? It stood firm. Right? Now, the wise man, Jesus says, is the person that hears his sayings and does them. Hears them and does them. That's the wise man. Jesus then talks about a foolish man, right? The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. And the rain comes, and the floods come, and the house on the sand went smash. All right? The foolish man is likened to a man that hears the sayings of the Lord, hears them, but does them not. And it's an incredible difference, isn't it? An incredible difference. So James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, they go like this. "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Let me read it one more time. "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." A couple observations. First of all, James wants us to be alert that in our midst there will be people who will stray from the truth. This term here, err, or however you want to say it, means to go astray, to stray off the right path. And that is why I've entitled this little pamphlet, Walking God's Path of Truth, Staying on God's Path. But there will be people who have sat under the teaching of the Word of God, who have heard the truth, but choose to walk apart from it. 1 John speaks of this in chapters 1 and chapters 2, but I want you to listen to what he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." It's very important that you understand what he's saying here. If we have fellowship, if we continually have fellowship, or continually walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know, what we're not saying tonight is we're not saying that if you sin, it's means that you are not saved. We're not saying that. What we are saying is that if your life is such that you are continually living in sin, walking in darkness, if that's what characterizes your life, then no matter what you might say, you're lying. Because a person that is truly a believer in Jesus Christ will have a life of godliness, will be characterized by that. I didn't say perfection, but a life that is characterized by godly living. That is the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God in a person's life. It is an amazing power to take us from living in the depths of sin and to change us so that we might walk in truth and godliness. That's the power of God at work in our lives. Back to James. He wants us to be alert. He does say brethren here, and I had to study that a while because many times brethren means fellow Christians. But as I looked back through this epistle, it is possible it makes sense to say that this term brethren could also mean his fellow Israelites or those that are gathered together. And here I believe he is referencing those that will be hearing his letter. And you know what? Those that are hearing his letter are those that are sitting in the assembly. And you know what? There are going to be people in that assembly that are going to stray from the truth, sadly. And what he is challenging them to be is to be available for God's use as ministers of grace in those erring people, as those people who are going astray. So we've got to be alert to the situation, the reality that there will be people who will stray from the truth. There will be people that are a part of this church, that are part of this assembly, that will stray. But we need to be available to be used by God. The term convert here in this passage, convert means to turn them. And as you look at this, you see if any of you professing believers, do stray or are led away from the truth, and one convert him, turn him around, change his direction, let him know. And this is what God wants you to know tonight. The incredible blessing and value that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ of knowing that we can come alongside one another. We can come alongside of an erring person, somebody that's going astray. They know the truth, but they're not walking and living according to it. We can come alongside of them. And the scriptures tell us here that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now we know from other scriptures that we as people do not have the ability to save others' souls. That is the work of God. So what does this mean? I believe what this means is that we are used as tools of God's grace, ministers of God's grace in the hearts and lives of others, of those that are going astray. And God might at times plant in your heart to go and to speak to someone who's not living according to God's truth. Maybe they have sat under its teaching, but they have chosen to walk and rebel against it. And God may call upon your heart or my heart to come alongside of them and to be used of God to turn them around. The picture is there is this path, God's right way of truth. And James explains that throughout his letter. But here at the close of his letter, he wants us to realize that there will be those that walk off. There will be those that say, I've had enough of that. I embrace the world. And God says here, you need to know, church. You need to know the power that you can have in a person's life. Save their soul from death. God may want to use you to bring people to salvation. Hide a multitude of sins. You know, each of us realize that before we came to Christ, we lived a life of sin, in sin. And think about how many lives have been affected. How many days, months, years have been wasted in a life of sin. How many people have been affected? And it's the incredible work of God that changes people's lives and covers over those sins. He's a forgiving God. So be alert to the straying. Be available for God's use. And be aware of the blessing of one who is converting another, who's turning another around. You know, this also can be true for a true believer. Matthew chapter 18 gives us instructions on how to come and seek to draw one back into right fellowship. Galatians chapter 6, another key passage on this topic of restoring a soul that has walked away from God. Galatians 6:1 says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, we are not islands unto ourselves. We are a body of people. And God's heart needs to be our heart. And God is pursuing after the erring, the straying people. God came to save the lost. And we need to have that heart as well. And we need to have eyes to see when there's a brother or sister that's walking away from the faith. There is great blessing in being a tool used by God, a minister of God's grace. Is it difficult? Absolutely. It's not fun. But you walk according to God's word, and you do it in love, and you allow God to do the work. You just be his messenger. You be his tool. But you be humble. You be loving. But realize also that there are some that go astray that aren't truly of God's family. And you just might have the opportunity to lead someone to Christ and save their soul from death. Have a role in their salvation. And hide a multitude of sins. So that brings us back to this worksheet, this pamphlet that I gave you, this handout. Is your life marked by these things? Are you living according to God's truth, walking on his path? You know, tonight's message should cause us to reflect in our own hearts, our lives. I trust it also that you will be sensitive to what God is saying to you in your relationship with your fellow church members and others that have walked with you under the teaching of the truth. How might God want to work in their lives, and how might he want to use you or me? You know, Christianity is an amazing thing. It's all about love, God's love, and how he has loved us. And that same love needs to be exhibited by us towards other people. And so, may you and I take to heart the message of this letter. May we be doers of the word. Doers, not just hearers only. God, thank you for this time. I appreciate your precious word and how it ministers and directs our lives. Lord, you want us to walk in the truth, and you've given us what that looks like. And James, Lord, has been a wonderful study showing us what it means to walk in the truth, to have a faith that is backed up by works. I pray that your people tonight, Lord, that they would be assured of their salvation in Christ. Lord, that they would be bearing fruit of that relationship every day. I pray that we would have a short account of sins, Lord, that we would confess regularly our failures, our sins, our failure to obey you. And I truly am grateful for your forgiveness. As God, it is that truly sets us free and gives us hope and a future. Thank you for saving our souls. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Empower your people for the week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.